Welcome to the Belfast Men's Health Group second podcast with Dr. Mark Davies, consultant clinical psychologist in the Belfast Trust based at the City Hospital. So Mark, thanks very much for agreeing to have a wee chat with us.
Thank you very much, Paul, for introducing me and inviting me.
Not at all. Today, Mark will give us some advice on how to look after our mental health with some top tips. But also we're going to try and address, look into who is Mark. And I think you'll agree that he's not a native from Belfast, but we'll get to that all in due course. Mark, before we get into our first question, I've been talking to some of the fellows in our wee group, and if you could tell some of those guys who are going to be listening to this podcast, and hopefully more, what is clinical psychology? What is your job?
So my job is to apply psychological theory to help people, basically. So I work in the NHS with clients, with people who come and see me, who are sent to see me, who are referred to see me. And my job is to use psychological theory, scientifically based psychological theory, to help people solve some problems in their lives, whether that be a mental health problem or other issues that are going on for them. That's basically a summary of what my job is. I apply psychological theory to help people.
And I guess it's very a challenging job, but also very rewarding.
It can be enormously rewarding. Yeah, when a piece of clinical work goes well, and when as a professional I feel I've made a difference to somebody's life, that is incredibly rewarding. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now we've had a brief introduction. I think you can hear Mark's voice, and that certainly is not a Belfast voice. So, Mark, where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
So I grew up in North Wales, quite a rural part of North Wales. My mother is first language Welsh, so when I'm watching Wales play rugby, my voice deepens slightly and I become a bit rounder. And then my father's from Liverpool, so when I'm watching the football and I hear a Scouse accent, I become a bit flatter and start talking a bit like a Scouser. Yeah. So I'm right in the middle of the North Wales coast, and I had a mother who was very Welsh and a father who was very Scouse.
So you watch S4C. I do watch S4C because Wales were playing Ireland in the rugby and I'm too tight to pay for it. S4C is free.
S4C, Shadwell Pedwar Cymru, which if people don't know is like the Welsh Channel 4, the Welsh language Channel 4. So similar to Tina G in the south.
Yeah.
And it shows rugby, yeah. And because my mum's, you know, speaks Welsh as a first language, I can usually understand what's being said in the commentary watching the Welsh rugby.
Very good, very good. And then Ulster also will play the Scarlets or another, I don't know who else, what other Welsh rugby out there is?
Well, there was the Scarlets and the Ospreys, and Ospreys, I was a season ticket at Ulster for years, and yes. Would always wear my Ulster jersey to home games, unless they were playing a Welsh team.
Yeah.
When I would wear my Welsh top, but a couple of seasons ago, I was at a Dragons game and I inadvertently put my Ulster jersey on, and I realised then I was becoming more of an Ulsterman than a Welshman.
Very good, very good. So, very good. Right, Mark, so, this is not about me, but I did go to school in North Wales, and it was St. Richard Gwynn, if that's any good.
Where was that? Where's that
it
school?
It was beside Mole.
Okay.
Up in round that,
yeah,
sort
not
of,
too far away from me.
And that sort of district, and we lived in Deeside,
with
the Blue Bridge,
Queens Ferry Bridge.
At the Queens Ferry, that's the exact one. Yep, that's the boy. Yep, and I support Man United, and occasionally we will go from here, United Supporters Club, head over to United, and I don't know what motorway we're on. Is it the
M56?
The M6.
Then 56.
The M56, and we'll drive past, and we'll see the old Blue Bridge.
That's right.
It just brings back memories of our time in North Wales. So you've given a wee brief. Is there any reason why you get into clinical psychology?
Well, sport was my thing when I was younger, and we used to cross that Blue Bridge to go to Old Trafford when I was younger. I used to go to football. My mother's cousin used to drive from Carnarvon to Manchester to Old Trafford every Saturday afternoon when Man United were playing at home, and he picked me up on the way through. So I remember crossing the Queens Ferry Bridge on the way to Manchester, and I've always loved sport. So I had a knee injury when I was 16, and I've just followed you up the stairs, and you can see the effects of that knee injury now in my early 50s. So I wanted to play sport, and then when I couldn't play sport, I decided I want to be a sports psychologist. And that's one of the reasons. There were other reasons as well, but that's one of the reasons I got into psychology.
Very good. And I mean, you've just nipped on sport. What was your sport and were you any good?
Rugby, football, cricket were my sports. I think I wasn't as good as I thought I was. But I love sport. I love watching sport now.
Are you a United man?
Oh yeah. Yeah, of course, United.
Yes. Yeah. And is your dad, is he a Liverpool man or Everton?
My mother had two cousins, one called Ellis John and one called Gareth. And Gareth was an Everton fan and Ellis John was a Man United fan. But right. Gareth was a terrible driver and he had an old leaky Saab that used to take to Goodson. And I preferred to go in Ellis John's Renault Fuego. I don't know if you remember sporty Renault Fuego. That was a much smoother ride and that's how I got into United.
Very good. And I remember way back, it was 1984 when we were in North Wales, and at that time you could still stand at the games. And 1984, Everton were quite good, and I think when I saw two cups, I think one of them was the Cup Winners' Cup and the FA Cup or something. I can't remember. I don't think they won the league, but the Beijing United 4-1 that time, and I remember that. And I just remember Gary Bailey's head going back and forth. We were tanked. But anyway, look. Yeah, so that's a cut. And then, I guess, what brought you to Belfast?
Well, after doing my degree in psychology, I had a couple of years working in London for the University of London, doing research and doing some clinical work there. And then I decided I wanted to train to be a clinical psychologist. So there weren't that many places you could train to be a clinical psychologist in those days. This was the mid-90s. So the plan actually was to do my clinical training and then go to Australia. And I could have stayed in London, but I'd had enough of living in London. I've been there for 3 years. So I had some contacts in Belfast. So I got accepted onto the clinical training course in Queen's in 1995 and then planned to do my 3 years in Belfast and move to Australia. But I was seduced by the locals, Paul. And here I am, 25 years later, two kids, happily married. Happily trapped in Belfast.
Very good. So there's no better place, Mark.
I love Belfast.
It is good. So I suppose now, moving on, this is essentially a wee chat with yourself, but we focus on men, and we're surrounded with COVID and this pandemic and mental health. If you listen to the news, you watch the news, you listen to the radio, you hear people saying there's going to be a mental health crisis. What tips could you give our listeners? Just general tips, doesn't have to be men, but tips to our listeners during COVID, because we're still through and maybe coming out of it. Any tips?
Well, it's been an extraordinary time for the service in which we work, for the National Health Service and for everybody in the country. And if you think about what the government have asked us to do as a population, for very good reasons, is essentially to switch off and to avoid things. That's what we've been asked to do. We've been asked to switch off, don't go to work, don't go to the pub, don't see your family, don't see your friends, don't do the things you enjoy. And if you're going to do one thing to lower people's mood, to make people depressed, you'd ask them to switch off. Yeah. It would be the key characteristic of people who are depressed is that they're switched off. And we've been asked to switch off essentially as a whole nation for the last 8 months. The other thing we've been asked to do is avoid. Avoid going to the supermarket, avoid hugging people, avoid. And that makes people anxious. Yeah. And it's interesting, I have a medical condition and I wasn't quite sure what my risk of COVID was at the beginning. So I decided pragmatically to avoid as many things as possible. And I was able still to come into work. I worked right through. But that was pretty much all I was doing. I wasn't going to the shop. I wasn't going to the pub. I wasn't going in a lift. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't going on the bus. Wasn't doing anything I didn't have to do. And after a few months of that, I realized I'd become anxious. So it wasn't I was avoiding things because I was anxious, but I became anxious because I was avoiding things. So my daughter started university in Glasgow in October, and the idea of going on the ferry with her to Glasgow and staying in the hotel and going to visit her in the halls of residence made me really anxious. And I realized that what we've all been asked to do in the last 8 months is to switch off and make ourselves depressed and to avoid and to make ourselves anxious. So happily, we seem to be coming out of this now. And whilst we're still in it, the challenge for all of us is to remain as safely switched on as possible, to keep doing things as much as possible. I know my daughter was telling me a lot of the students in halls of residence are really struggling because they've just been stuck in the halls of residence for weeks on end, and they're now really finding it difficult to leave their rooms and to switch back on again. So the key thing for us is to switch on and remain switched on in as safe as way as possible. And then when we come through the pandemic, the challenge for the whole country will be to switch back on again. Yeah. Equally, we've got to avoid safely. We've got to not be reckless, and we've got to be safe. But there's a balance to be struck between avoiding safely and avoiding everything. They're two slightly different things. And if we get into the habit of avoiding everything, it's actually quite difficult. Our brains will notice when we're avoiding things, and it will see those things and treat those things as something to be anxious about. So staying safely switched on, not avoiding unless you absolutely have to, are really, really important. And when we come through the pandemic in a few months, everybody's got that challenge of switching back on and getting back on the bus and getting back in the lift and shaking hands and hugs and going to the pub and doing all the things we used to do.
Yeah. No, some of that is absolutely spot on. And I've never thought of it like that, as switching off and switching on. And being from Northern Ireland, being from Belfast, hopefully we'll have no problem switching on to going to the pub.
I think that'll be one of the easy ones.
Yes, one of the easy ones. You're absolutely right.
I wonder how many people will feel uncomfortable going on a bus, for example.
Yeah, no, post COVID. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I live in Antrim, and before this, I did take the train in. I haven't taken the train once during this pandemic, and it's free.
Yeah.
And if anybody knows me, if I'm offered something free, I'm on it. But it really did.
Yeah. And it'll be a challenge to get back on that train.
Without a doubt. And I haven't even thought about it, Mark. Yeah. But
that's what we've got to do. Metaphorically, that's what we've all got to do. We've got to get back on the train. We've got to switch back on and get back on the train. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Now we're coming, folks, to conclude. I mean, I could talk all day here, but you know, Mark has patience and he needs to get moving on. So, sort of the last sort of question, and I think you've answered some of it. If your career wasn't in psychology, you've sort of said sports psychology. If it hadn't been that, or another way, maybe, what are your hobbies? Do you have anything that keeps you ticking over?
Well,
because I did see you coming up the stairs there, and to be fair, you did struggle a wee bit.
Very often, when the going gets tough in healthcare, healthcare workers have job escape fantasies. We have these fantasy jobs. Some people talk about, oh, I'm going to go and work in Marks and Spencer's. I have no responsibility. I'm going to go and work in Tesco's. You know that kind of fantasy that people have?
Yeah.
So when I have my kind of perfect job fantasy, there's three I usually kind of land on. One is, I would like to be the Welsh rugby team sports psychologist. I think that would be a great job. I'd be very happy doing that.
Yeah.
I've always got a bit of a hankering to be a tree surgeon as well. I don't know why. But I don't know if you remember Malachi, the social worker in Renal years ago. He had the same kind of idea of becoming a tree surgeon. And he said he knew a guy with a van, and we could call ourselves the Three Fellas, which is quite a nice.
Very good, yeah.
And then the third thing I've always been fascinated about is, this will tell you something about my psychology, unfortunately, but anyway, do you know the big firework displays that you see on New Year's Eve?
I do, and letting
off all those fireworks?
Yep.
What a brilliant job that would be. Yeah. Travelling the world, going to the Olympics, going around the world, going to Sydney and doing the fireworks on New Year's Eve. What a great job that would be.
Brilliant. Well, on that note, Mark, thanks very much, because this wee podcast was to finish, if you pardon the pun, a cracker. So thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been good this year. Make your list and check it twice. I'll leave you a note right here underneath the Christmas lights. Carols and bells, none of them help. I still feel blue. I just wanna fall in love this Christmas. I don't need a fancy watch. can give the elves a break. No, you can't make it in the shop. You can't put it on your sleigh. You know me so well that nobody else can do what you do. I just wanna fall in love this Christmas. I just wanna fall in love. Ooh. Save the wrapping paper, your ribbon and bow. I don't need that extra stuff. Oh, I just wanna fall in love. Santa, I've been good this year. Make your list and check it twice. I'll leave you a note right here underneath the Christmas lights. You know me so well, and nobody else can do what you do. I just wanna fall in love this Christmas.